okay, this first one, is there?
So what was the most important thing that you learned from the first movie that you took with you to the second movie, and in terms of, you know, the whole journey and everything?
Well, you know, it's something that's really basic, which is, and it's obvious on one hand, it's always about characters and storytelling. It's never about the, you know, can we make this more bigger and the effects more complicated, or, you know, let's have more action. It's really about, are we going to be compelled to follow these characters that long? And so in making it, what you have to do is, you really have to put on blinders, and because there's so much stuff to distract you. And look, when you look at dailies or look at what you're shooting, it's not about, you know, is this explosion working or, you know, whatever else. It's like, you know, do we care? So and that's true for any movie.
You know, Mark, a question that I didn't get to ask this morning, Stephen, but I'd like to ask somebody involved with the team. You made some significant changes from the source material, and typically when you see that in movies, it seems sort of maybe done to pander to the crowd, but in this case, I think we've all been talking, and we really sort of enjoyed the changes. If anything, they sort of pointed up some of the themes of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a really careful choice to do that, considering how many fans are out there and how effective it was?
I agree. You know, going into it, with Lion the Witch, we were really careful about not making changes.
Okay.
Because I've done a lot of books, movies based on books, like everything from The Natural to Donnie Brasco to The Notebook to My Dog Skip. And to a certain degree, you make changes. We made big changes to The Notebook, for instance, and to The Natural. And this one, because The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is so revered by so many people, you sort of got the sense that if you tampered with it, you were sort of doing it at great risk. And I think that we were close to it. I think we kept the integrity of that book, so much so that people would say things to me like, I love the fact that it was so close to the book. It's how I remember the book. The scene in the frozen waterfall is exactly like, of course, it isn't in the book. they just so felt it was a piece that it was okay. And this one, the book, when we first read it, we weren't sure that it was even, not that it wasn't filmable, we just thought, this is going to be really tough. How do we do this one? And so we made structural changes. Those of you who have read it, you know that a third of the movie is told in flashback in the middle of the movie, and we're after the Pevensies get back to Narnia and they meet up with Trumpkin, and then he, and I can't remember if it's on the boat or not, but he tells them the whole story about Prince Caspian, which we now start the movie with, the whole sense of his uncle and his uncle killing his father. But the themes are the most important ones. You have to say, what is this movie about? And the first one, it was about a certain kind of faith, and this is about sort of losing faith and then regaining it. And that's faith in a very, really general sense. Hopefully it makes sense to everybody.
Particularly that fight scene, I thought, you know, with Peter, and, you know, how many Narnians are sacrificed to his pride. I mean, that's not a book, but it's such a powerful moment.
Oh, I know. It brings tears to my eyes. At the end of that, this castle raid that has been so unsuccessful, and you see these people being sacrificed behind the gate, you look in Peter's eyes, and you realize what his really hubris has done.
You mentioned being connected to the characters and caring about the characters. There obviously was a lot of CGI involved in this movie. A couple of questions. One, how much was, I assume there was more more CGI effects, and then secondly, in particular, Reba Cheap, that development of the character.
Well, for me, when we were doing Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I was worried, you always go through a period, is this movie working? Are people really going to care? And early on, we did the scene where Lucy meets Mr. Thomas Van Zandt. And as soon as we did that, even I didn't even have to see Dale, I said, all right, but this movie's going to be fine, because it really is. This is its heart and soul right here. With these two characters, we didn't have that moment necessarily in Prince Caspian. Certainly, when as written and trying to figure out, not that we had to recreate that, but we did. You did need to have it sort of touched on, I guess. And with we, you know. know, there was a temptation to mirror or somehow try to copy the relationship with Lucy and Mr. Tumnus with Lucy and Trumpkin. And he said, no, it's not the same thing. By the way, to be totally honest, and this is sort of a departure from the book, we kept on saying, is there any way we can bring Mr. Tumnus back? But it's been 1,300 years, and there's no way you could cheat that. And anyhow, the long answer, we sort of did that with some of the CT characters, and I think that for me, that one of the real triumphs, certainly physical triumphs, of Prince Caspian is Ribaji, because I think he is such a significant character. And what's great is he has an even a bigger role in our next one, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. But there are moments, there's a moment early on when I think it's the last close-up on Truffle Hunter, when he's holding the horn to Prince Caspian, he says, don't you know what this means? You're meant to save us. And he's got almost like a tear in his eye. It's as emotional as any moment with a live actor. So I think that we don't have the exact same strength of some of the moments in Lion, the Witch, but I think we make up for it with a lot of our new characters.
You face a challenge very similar to what Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings, in that there's 100 million copies of this book out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to keep making the movies, you have to please those people. Yet at the same time, you've got to create a different product.
Right.
How worried have y'all been about offending the 100 million, and specifically the religious element of that, since that's the most controversial part of Lewis's vision?
Well, I think we've reversed it. I'm not sure that we've been worried about offending people, but we just want to make sure that the expectations are somehow met. Well, at the same time, understanding, of course, that it's a movie. We've been very aware of the readership. Now, ironically, everybody, when we made Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in New Zealand, everybody in New Zealand grew up on that book as a child. Everybody, our entire crew, had read it. As it turned out, not a lot of them had read Prince Caspian. So not a lot of English-speaking world has read all seven books.
Hmm.
If they've read one, it's The Lion, the Witch, because there were a lot of people saying, what happens in that one again, in Prince Caspian? Is that the one about, and people were sort of fuzzy about it. So I never felt quite the same pressure. Plus, with the success, I think that the audience, hopefully, trusts us a little bit more. That, you know, there was, with the first one, it's like, okay, show me. You know, will you be true to what I remember in these books? And I think people, by and large, emphatically said yes. So that's why I think we felt a little comfortable that we could make some changes. But I'm very much aware of what these books mean to so many people, and want to stay true to each one of them. Who else have you all talked to? Yes. Anyone else been to this table yet?
Almost everyone now.
Oh,
really?
The writers have been in.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're doing sitting in.
Oh, good.
You know, one of the things we're sitting here talking about was you kind of brought up the reaction of the religious community, and we kind of talked about how we really kind of enjoyed the Susan Caspian relationship that was definitely not in the book.
Right.
And she was saying that some of her readers just saw the trailer, and they just saw the kids. All they saw was the kids, and they were horrified. And yet, when you see the movie, it really works. So was there any nervousness about creating this relationship where one didn't exist?
Well, this is interesting. Literally, I mean, we talked to you last night. This is the first audience that we've seen it with. We tested it once in January in California, but the visual effects, I mean, Ribaji was a little stick character, and so it was hard to tell. So it was really interesting for me to see, and obviously, I think the audience was about 100% impressed. So, not that you're all cynical, but it's not a pure, you know, reaction. But there was the moment when Prince Caspian meets the four Pevensies, and he says, I thought you'd be older, and he said, like, you're not exactly what I thought. And there's a look between Susan and him. The audience reacted. It's sort of like, oh, you know. So I was very happy with that. And there was a little bit of applause. I'll bet in some theaters there will be big applause when the two of them get their little kiss at the end. By the way, the our co-producer, Douglas Gresham, who is C.S. Lewis's stepson and a great partner and a lovely, lovely man, he wasn't sure about the kiss. He thought that there was too much Hollywood going on there. But it's not something we dwell on. It just happens to be that attraction. Yes. And I think I don't feel like we've done anything really inorganic to the book.
Well, that's what we were saying. If you see it in context, you really enjoy it. If you're, a fan who's been reading it to their kids and read it as a kid, and you just see that, there's like this scary moment of nothing they've done.
Exactly. Hollywood has taken over.
Yeah, I think it would have been incomplete if it hadn't been there, because there is that kind of connection with them throughout the thing. That's kind of a flirting thing going on.
We took out a scene in an archery scene where they're practicing, and she actually shows him up. It's a very nice romantic tension between the two of them. And we thought, that this is too much. Let's just establish that there is this flicker of something and pay it off briefly and without making it.
Will you save that for the director's cut?
Yes.
How difficult was it to figure out what to do with Edward?
Well, it's interesting, Edmund has his big moment in the first one when he betrays his family and then comes around. It's hard, there's so many characters to service. So that, Peter certainly has his story here. And we've established early on that Peter was probably having the most difficulty fitting back into England. He was the king of Narnia. And then all of a sudden, he was a regular schoolboy and told what to do. Lucy had longed to go back. Susan was just trying to adapt, although we can see that she wasn't quite successfully doing that. As the kid we call Geeky Boy in the credit is trying to flirt with her, and he points out that he sees her alone all the time. So we made clear that they've had trouble fitting in. Edmund, we're not quite sure how he fit in. And the first one, we made a big deal of the fact that his father, he really missed his father more than anyone, and didn't want to take orders from his older brother. This one, he really is becoming his own kid, and it's he, after all, who kills the White Witch. By the way, that's something else that the White Witch is not in the book, Prince Caspian. So that's a little bit of a cheat, and yet I think it's
organic.
What's Spark bringing her back? We went to Lion of Witches there. Who are the great characters? How do we bring Mr. Thomas back? There's no way to justify it. The White Witch, because she's magical and has all these powers, you can do all kinds
of things. They draw the blue circle in the book, and they're trying to bring her back.
That's right.
So it's a short leap to say, well, they get her for a second.
That's exactly right. Brought back the Oscar winner.
Plus, you have both Peter and Caspian almost going over the edge.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Back. And but it's a good question, because Edmund is doesn't have the moments that some of the other characters have. I think Skandar is just an amazing young man, and the scene he has with Miraz when he goes and issues the challenge and points out, no, King Edmund, and he said, I know it's confusing.
All the way around, the acting seemed to, on the kid's part, seemed to really progress.
That's great.
Especially
that's really good to hear.
That young lady, she's going to be switching.
But
Edmund,
he really... I was surprised how likable I found him in this movie after seeing the first one.
Yeah.
Where decided he's supposed to be unlikable, and he really grew. I mean, he's kind of a little heartthrob now.
Yeah.
That shocked me.
Yeah. No, I know. They've all grown up so well, and what's so great about them is that they all went off after Lion of the Witch to be regular school kids, and they love making the movie, but if we never made another one, that'd be fine too, because they love school, and they didn't want to become... called Hollywood kids, sort of like.
I know the short answer on continuing to make the movies is keep making money, you keep making movies. But could you discuss a few of the challenges involved in even conceiving making the rest of the film? Just in terms of the actors' ages, set. I mean, Douglas Gresham said you really couldn't film two and three together because they share no sets.
Right.
I mean, you're headed off in a totally different place. It makes no business sense at all. So could you discuss some of the other challenges with the series?
Well, you know what we did when, after we finished Lion the Witch, and it opened up in December, and it became a big success, and on to January, both studios were huge hurry for us to go prepare the next one. And Andrew Adamson called me up in the middle of the night, didn't introduce himself, and just said, do you really want to do another one of these? And it was a real question because it's so demanding of time and effort and everything else. But, and how do you do it? And so we Prince Caspian made the most sense. We really had to do it next or we'd never have this cast again. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, let's do that. And then we weren't sure that there was a movie there. We toyed with the idea of combining Prince Caspian and Dawn Treaders.
Like BBC did.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it's for me, yes, of course, obviously, we want them to continue to make money and be successful. It's got, you know, it's more if you're going to spend 2.5 years of your life making something, you better be, you know, you better be thinking, hopefully thinking about something more important than a paycheck, and is it really exciting? And I love these characters, and I have over the past several years really fallen in love with making family films. So I started with The Little Princess and My Dog Skip, and even The Rookie, and I just, this is a world that I really love being a part of and creating. And the beauty of this franchise is each movie is so different from the one that preceded it and the one that follows it. So Dawn Treader, you know, the Narnia we saw in Lion, the Witch, and now in Prince Caspian has nothing to do with the Narnia in Dawn Treader. So it'll always be exciting and new.
So Dawn Treader is intended to stand on its own at this point?
Yes.